the relation between Fourmile theory and string theory at the quantum level, discussed partition functions, some recent work. And then I'll concentrate on the semantics of Fourmile reduced theory, which is, happens to be closely related to the semantics of magnons for ADS5S5, also to quantum deformed matrix, which was discussed by Beisert and Karateyev. So there was lots of interesting possible connections, but this story is still quite fluid and not quite clear what the right perspective on it. So there was a related poster by Ben, my collaborator, my student Ben Kohar, and there will be a talk on Friday by Luis Miramontes, who will also talk about similar similar topics. Essentially the aim, one possible aim of this enterprise is to understand how we can solve string theory in ADS5S5 from first principles. So that means somehow using symmetries, especially integrability, and the general sort of pattern of solution, how it should go, it should use this matrix and then trying to understand better ansatz underlying the spectrum and then understand all possible operators based on TBA. So this kind of general strategy is by now kind of clear. But so what we're dealing with here is a quite unusual type of sigma model. So we'd like to follow the sort of strategy which was used in the solution of O-N model. The difference here is obviously it's more complicated structure. It's a supercosset sigma model, Green-Schwarz sigma model. Plus we have conformal theory. We have sort of mass scale just from gauge fixing, like P plus in flat space, or some charge which you fix. There's no mass generation. But also, there is no explicit Lorentz invariance in the gauge fixed theory. And that means that this matrix is kind of more complicated. It has more complicated structure, depends on rapidities rather than the difference. Symmetries constraints are not manifest, so we'd like to have some alternative approach where Lorentz invariance is manifest, but essentially describing the same number of degrees of freedom. And this Fourmile reduction suggests that maybe that's the way to go. So I'll try to review why. So essentially, this, one can view this Fourmile reduction as some kind of reformulating of classical theory in terms of current type variables in a way which preserves Lorentz invariance, but ending up dealing with the same degrees of freedom, at least classically, and then see what we can get at the quantum level, whether we get equivalent theory or related theory. And that may be a strategy towards the exact solution of original superstring, if we can show that these two are equivalent at the quantum level. So what we're dealing with, essentially, what we will be dealing with is kind of some on-shell, it will be like non-abelian Todor theory, some version of non-abelian Todor theory extended by fermions. At the quantum level, this Fourmile reduced theory is scale invariant, it's ultraviolet finite, integrable, and one direction is just to understand how it's actually related to ADS5S5 string. Classically, they are related quite closely. Here we have, in this Fourmile reduced theory, we'll have standard kind of kinetic terms for fermions. It has much more familiar, simple structure than Green-Schwarz action. It will have a Lorentz invariant S matrix for equivalent set of physical degrees of freedom. And I would also emphasize a somewhat different take on this. So we can forget about Green-Schwarz theory. There is this unique, rather unique ultraviolet finite massive integral model, which has this PSE224 group structure hidden in it. And it would be interesting also to find the exact solution regardless possible relation to string. So let me start with some history of this Fourmile reduction. So in a way, Fourmile introduced integrability into the quantum field theory in two dimensions, in some sense, by relating at the classical level of three sigma model to Sine-Gordon theory and then generalizing to other models. But this was just purely classical relation, which was using classical conformal invariance of two-dimensional sigma model. And why this reduction is actually relevant is not at all clear. And for example, it turned out that logic was right. In a way, he observed classical integrability, and then later it was understood that this classical integrability extends for O3 model to the quantum level. But of course, at the quantum level, Sine-Gordon and O3 sigma are no longer related. So the statement of relation doesn't continue to quantum level. And for basically for that reason, Pollmeyer reduction was not really used much in the next 20 years after Pollmeyer. But it came to light again in string theory in the context of first looking at classical solutions for strings moving in de Sitter or anti-de Sitter space. And then it was used, sort of become popular in 2006 when Hoffman and Molisena observed that one could use a Sangoldon soliton to describe particularly important classical solution, the giant magnon solution in this 5S5. And more recently, there were many papers which were using this somewhat other, another version of Pollmeyer reduction, which was mentioned already in talk by Romuald Janik, which would be different from what I'm going to discuss, but it's kind of related. Reduction pure IDS part of the story, classical construction of minimal surfaces which end on certain null contours at the boundary. In particular, people here, like there was later papers by Sever, Vieira, Aldai, Molisena, extending this approach to corresponding Y system, etc. So there will be talk here later also by Sever. So as I already mentioned, the idea is to look at more possible more fundamental role of Pollmeyer reduction and why it may be exactly in ADS 5S5 where this reduction actually can extend to quantum level. Why is this so? Because this sigma model which underlies this string theory is actually should be conformal theory. It's ultraviolet finite. So here, conformal invariance which was used by Pollmeyer at the classical level actually extends to quantum level. So if we use this Pollmeyer reduction, we may hope to get some equivalence at the quantum level as well. And that was the idea behind our work with Grigoriev and also parallel work by Mikhailov and Shaffer-Nameki, where we actually wrote down how this Pollmeyer reduced theory should look like for the full Green-Schwarz ADS 5S5 string. So what are the main sort of features of the resulting theory? So it's ultraviolet finite. I mentioned that. That was sort of studied in our paper with Rader-Reuben. And then one could look at one loop partition function, and not surprisingly, well, one could expect that one loop partition functions of around the respective solutions of a classical equivalent theory should sort of match, but it's not necessarily so, but it does happen in this context. I'll discuss this in detail. Yes, so the actions are different, the variables are different. They're classically equivalent, but they're related through some non-local transformation, so it's there are various hidden possibilities where that could not work in principle. So then we can look at perturbative S matrix of this reduced theory. And essentially, it has the free theory has exactly the same spectrum. It's like 8 plus 8 degrees of freedom, like in Magnon S matrix. But recent work, sort of inspired by, as I mentioned, Bizet and Karatayev's construction, suggests that this S matrix should have Q-deformed supersymmetry. And actually, the supersymmetry means really it can be interpreted as two-dimensional supersymmetry, and I'll get in detail about that. Then there is also solitons and soliton spectra studied by Holod Miramontes, and I guess Miramontes will talk about that in detail. So it looks like there is some consistency in this resulting S matrix also regarding the soliton spectrum. Interestingly, this theory has hidden two-dimensional supersymmetry. So that's, again, I will talk about this later, but this is something which you could expect from flat space point of view. If you go to light cone gauge, Green-Schwarz and, say, NSR are related by certain transformations. So what happens is the Green-Schwarz scalars get transformed into dimensional spinners. So this two-dimensional supersymmetry actually happens, seems to appear here as well in completely sort of different context and in curved version of that. So let me start with going back to Pollmeyer and just recall how this Pollmeyer reduction goes. And I need to speed up. So I'll just sketch it very briefly. So if you have two-dimensional sigma on a sphere, to get to Sangoldon theory, you essentially, the idea is to look at stress tensor in the classical theory. You can actually you can choose conformal diffeomorphisms so that to make components of stress tensor T plus plus T minus minus constant, and you can fix them to be equal constant mu. So once you do that, you can argue that you have three vectors, unit vector x, unit vector x plus and x minus, and the only remaining degree of freedom which in the system is then the scalar product of two x plus x minus vectors. Well, essentially, this is like Lagrangian of this original sigma model. And this angle phi is this remaining degree of freedom, and it happens to, the classical equations imply that if this phi satisfies Sangoddan equation, which follows, of course, from this Sangoddan action. So despite the non-Lorentz invariance of this derivation, the resulting action is Lorentz invariant. And one could study classical solutions, relate or three-model solutions to the solutions of Sangoddan. That was, as I mentioned earlier, was used, in fact, in the context of superstring theory. So one can generalize this to three-dimensional sphere. Same construction leads to complex Sangoddan model, which has essentially the same potential, but an extra field which makes curved target space metric of this sigma model which we're dealing with. So these extra fields are related to axes in even more complicated ways, derivatives of them. So then one can generalize to ADS or ADS2, ADS3 by replacing signs to hyperbolic signs. So there are similar models like that. So from string theory point of view, what we're really doing, we're looking at strings moving on a sphere or an ADS, fixed conformal gauge, fixed time in space, time to be tau with scale mu. And this scale mu plays the role of this mu which appears in the potential once you solve these conditions, which here are just Virasoro conditions on the stress terms. So in ADS, this is just considering ADS times the circle, and this mu plays the role of the momentum along the circle, string momentum along the circle. So this mu is like this usual angular momentum or arc charge in the light cone gauge in string. So important point about this Pollmeyer reduction, that we introduce new variables which are kind of non-local related to original through derivatives related to original string variables. And they, in fact, are like currents, as I'll briefly explain. And these reduced in string theory are actually related to, they have related integrable structures, and resulting theory is Lorentz invariant. It's blind to original SON symmetry, but in fact, this SON symmetry may somehow be hidden in reduced theory. And in some sense, you can think of it as really like analog of light cone gauge fixing for coset model, but through introducing some non-local variables, or think of this as first-order formalism with solving Virasoro conditions. That's essentially what is going on. So if we look at more general example, which will be basic for what follows, is we look at string moving on the coset space, F over G. So one group over another group. And you start with an action which depends on, you have a current, F belongs to the group. You split the current according to the gauge group part, G and P, which is coset part. And the action is just a square of this coset part. And write down equations of motion, Virasoro and Maurer-Cartan equation. Write down equation of motion in first order form. So add Virasoro and Maurer-Cartan equations. So then everything is written in terms of components of the current. And the idea is to solve Virasoro condition equation of motion first. So Virasoro just algebraically reformulate everything in terms of these currents, but through solving Virasoro. And then derive the action which will give you resulting equations, which are Maurer-Cartan equations. So that's the idea of this Pollmeyer reduction phrased in this more general way. And the solving of Virasoro starts with choosing a matrix T, constant matrix. That's very important to keep in mind for what follows. So we start with F over G model. We choose some matrix T, and we fix P plus component, the component of the current in the coset, to be constant. So that obviously solves Virasoro condition trace P plus mu squared. And this T introduces decomposition of F, so it selects a subgroup H, which commutes with this T, or subalgebra H, which commutes with T. So we choose this T to be constant matrix, and then gives us some H, which belongs to G. So then the other Virasoro is solved by introducing a variable G belonging to a new field, G, which is like this angle of Sangoddan theory related to original X variables. So this G belongs to big group G, and the equation of motion is solved by just fixing certain a plus a minus is a gauge field belonging to this algebra H, which is commutes with the T. So these are new variables, G, a plus a minus. And I'll explain how they're related to the previous story, but remarkable observation, once we do that, remarkable observation that Riemannian equation of motion just follow from a local action for these variables, G, E plus, A minus. So G belongs to group G. Again, this is now a global group. It's a group G divided by H, where H is defined by this commutation with T. So that's the action. So the action is essentially gauge based Riemannian model, left-right gauging with a potential. And potential is kind of generalization of this Sine-Gordon potential. And this observation that this model appears in this context was originally due to Bacchus, Park, and Shin, and later on it was kind of derived more systematically the way how I just explained. So what we end up with is another name for this model is, which was actually used in mid-90s and studied by these people and collaborators, symmetric space Sine-Gordon model. So it's equation of motion, essentially like non-abelian totem equations if you fix it on shell gauge. And if you use particular parameterization of the G element and integrate A plus A minus out, as we used to engage with the minimum models, for the sphere, for example, you end up with a model which is kind of generalized Sine-Gordon model. So you will have same potential, but the metric which appears here will be nothing for two-dimensional sphere, this complex Sine-Gordon type metric. For the three-dimensional sphere, four-dimensional sphere will be more complicated, etc. So these kind of models emerge from this gauge with Riemannian model. So now we'll get to string theory in ADS5S5, and we'll be basically repeating the same exercise, using that we're dealing with ADS5S5, which are cosets. And so in the context of Green-Schwarz, we are dealing with this PSU224 over SP22SP4. So bosonic part essentially is the ADS5S5. There's no fermionic factor here. So fermions just sit upstairs, and to write down the action, it's natural to use this decomposition, Z4 decomposition of this superalgebra, where you, or the, for the current, you have a part which belongs to G, which is in this case SP22SP4. There is coset part, which is ADS5S5, and there are two fermionic parts, Q1, Q2 of the current. And the action, the Green-Schwarz action looks like, so the usual tension in front square root of lambda, and then the Green-Schwarz action is just square of translational part plus with the minute term, which is depending on these two fermionic currents. So fixing light cone gauge, you get again Virasoro conditions, n equation of motion, Maurer-Cartan equation, and then we do this Polmeyer reduction. Essentially, we solve, again, choose particular matrix T, which will now be leaving this PSU224, 8x8 matrix. So we solve these conditions and then try to find the action for resulting remaining variables. So for bosons, that goes again as choosing this T, which will be some ones and minus ones on diagonal, 8x8 matrix. P plus is fixed. Mu again is a scale which you put in by hand. It's like P plus in a way. P minus requires introduction of this new variable G, which belongs now to this group, SP22, SP4. So this is like, or USP22. It's like ADS part. This is like S5 part, analogs of the variables from these factors. And as I mentioned, T is just this constant matrix. H commuting with T is this SU4 copies of SU2. And we will have this residual gauge invariance on the equations of motion, so we'll end up again with some G over H gauge with the minimum model. For these new variables, say the two components of A plus A minus belonging to this sub gauge group, gauge algebra, and G belonging to these two factors. So for fermions, one needs to fix kappa symmetry, and half fixing is by killing two components of fermionic currents. Again, we're using currents as new variables. That's the key idea. And these fermions, which we'll be dealing with, are essentially components of the currents with some projection to fix kappa symmetry completely. So this psi1 parallel, psi2 parallel, just fermionic currents Qs rotated by G. So all one needs to remember is that psi r, psi left are some fermionic fields which are 8x8 matrices, particularly 8x8 matrices, again, belonging to algebra of PSU224, which intercommute with matrix, with constant matrix T. And they will be containing 16 independent components. On shell, it will be just 8. And that will be sort of analog counterparts of our bosonic variables. And bosonic variables will have just 4 from at the end of, after fixed gauge fixing, there'll be four bosons corresponding to ADS5, four bosons corresponding to ADS5. So that's the remarkable, again, remarkable observation that everything after that follows from a local action, which sort of resembles gauge Wiesemann model with potential and then supersymmetrized, but not usual supersymmetry. Supersymmetrized sort of in some sense. So number of degrees of freedom indeed is the same between bosons and fermions. These terms, T is constant matrix, so this term is just like usual two-dimensional kinetic term, and this is kind of coupling between bosons and fermions. This is potential term for the bosons, and this is usual gauge Wiesemann for G over H. So there is residual H symmetry. As I mentioned, these derivatives are covariant derivatives with respect to A. So it's very similar in structure to gauge Wiesemann model. But the difference is that these psi's live, so both G and psi live in some big 8 by 8 matrix, and they're coupled together. So that's a very strange kind of action. It's classically equivalent to Green-Schwarz action. It's integrable. It's Lorentz invariant. If we think of psi now as two-dimensional Majorana fermions, and we're sort of allowed to do that just looking at this Lagrangian, so they have standard kinetic terms. And interestingly, if we do the same for ADS2, S2, we discover that this action has usual standard two-dimensional supersymmetry. We can re-identify the field so that we have two-dimensional supersymmetry. And this two-dimensional supersymmetry appears to be non-local and sort of hidden in the case of ADS3, S3, ADS5, S5. Now, another observation which I didn't emphasize, but it is actually important that this, and in fact, Pedro was referring to that earlier, if you just look at these terms, mass-dependent terms, mu-dependent terms, these are exactly like original Green-Schwarz action. If you remember that T was P plus and G minus 1 T, G is P minus, and this is exactly Q1, Q2. Square of fermionic currents, Wiesemann term for fermionic currents, and that's the. So these terms are exactly like a usual Green-Schwarz action, and that may suggest that maybe gauge Wiesemann terms come from some path integral change of variable while Green-Schwarz Lagrangian is just sitting there. No. The actions are not the same. The actions, equations of motion are related. Equations of motion are equivalent. No. How much time I have? Good. Okay, could I answer that later? Because I'm going to get to that one loop correction. Actions are different. Yes. So that's a question indeed.
Why do you think that there's any chance of getting a good quantum limit if you classes?
I'm not. If I knew how to answer that question, I would tell you. I'm just raising that question that these two theories may be equivalent. How equivalent? We don't know. We don't know how they are equivalent and why. They can't be equivalent in that sense as you are referring to, that semiclassics for one theory just exactly gives you path integral for the other theory.
Let me ask you something. You could take, for example, the flat space limit of ADS5 to S5, where you know how to quantize perfectly. And then you could at least check that the flat space limit of these
voltage. Which flat space limit? Are you referring to light cone gauge fixing? No, you can't. Well, no, it will not go like that in flat space. No.
Maybe we postpone for the.
Yeah, maybe we could. I could return to that later. But one puzzle related sort of to what we just discussed. Indeed, you can think of mu being an analog of P plus or BMN, big momentum. And if we just expand near trivial vacuum, sort of in the theory, which is G equal 1 and gauge field 0, you end up with exactly the same spectrum as for BMN with this mass playing the role of this mass scale. So that suggests that we're dealing sort of with same degrees of freedom, but maybe interacting in a different way because this is Lorentz invariant theory. Now, the action, as we just discussed, it's Lagrangian, which I have shown, but the coefficient in front, what should we put? If we just think of this gauge Wiesemann model, that should be some k, an actually integer k. But that seems not this is, seems very strange, because later on I want to identify this key with string tension. At least that's one way to relate these two theories. And I just mentioned that the actions, part of the action is actually the same as string action, so that will imply this key is related to Switzerland. So equation of motion, again, it's some fermionic generalization of non-abelian order. In a sense, this model resembles both Bessemer model on, based on supergroup and two-dimensional supersymmetric Bessemer model, but in kind of hybrid between the two. And in fact, now it's clear it's more like this second option. Now, two-dimensional supersymmetry, I'm going to talk about more about it, but it does this analogy with flat space and the fact what we do with currents, essentially we do kind of replace scalars by two-dimensional spinners when we do this reduction. So it suggests that there may be actually two-dimensional supersymmetry. I will be discussing two special reductions of these ADS5S5 or truncations, and that's ADS2S2, ADS3S3, where you can repeat the same supercosset sort of Green-Schwarz construction and consider reduction. So in this case, you end up with Sine-Gordon plus Singe-Gordon plus fermions, and here it's complex Sine-Gordon complex Singe-Gordon plus fermions. So I'll later on return to these theories. So there is some algebraic coset structure which will be also important for what follows. So explicitly, ADS2S2 is just this kind of Lagrangian where beta, gamma, nu, rho, these fermions psi left, psi right, which I had earlier. This would be this Yukawa type interaction term. And then you observe that you can reorganize this just as you can write this just as usual, n equal to sub sine Gordon with this superpotential, and immediately you understand where what kind of supersymmetry is in this model, how these fields should transform to have manifest two-dimensional supersymmetry, and this supersymmetry will be present, of course, in the corresponding S matrix. Now, and that essentially suggests that there may be supersymmetry also in two-dimensional supersymmetry in ADS3S3 and ADS5S5, but how this story goes actually is quite non-trivial, and that was the beginning of the understanding started recently in these works. So that's example. Well, that's the expression how this non-local supersymmetry actually present in this section looks like. So it involves transformation which has inverse d minus. So meaning of that, what does this non-locality mean, and whether it actually suggests there should be some extra degrees of freedom which make it local is unclear. But what seems to be suggested from the S-matrix point of view, and we sort of see that in ADS3S3 case explicitly, is that this supersymmetry actually should be quantum deformed. So that may be related to this non-locality. But again, this is one of the open questions which are unclear. So U will be related to K. U will be related to K. That seems the natural suggestion which comes out. There is a reason, kind of algebraic reason, why this supersymmetry should appear, what should we expect as a corresponding supergroup. So if we start with the fact that we have Lorentz and translations in this two-dimensional theory. Now, if we look at Green-Schwarz theory, we have chosen this matrix T, which is just like a choice of BMN vacuum. And we can look at what part of superalgebra is left, after which commutes with, as a symmetry, which commutes with T, which is left, the global part, global symmetry, which is left. So that's F perpendicular, and this F perpendicular will contain naturally this H subgroup, which I mentioned earlier, which is SU2 in power 4 in ADS5, plus two fermionic symmetries. So actually, fermionic symmetry is commuting with T. So these fermionic symmetries are natural suggestion that these should be part of the supersymmetry algebra, so it, which contains Lorentz and translations will be like central extensions of this H hat, which contains R symmetry H plus this fermionic. So that's supersymmetry. That symmetry should be, it's part of this F symmetry, F hat, PSU 2 to 4, but it's actually should appear because of gauge fixing of kappa symmetry. So that's the natural reason for it. And as I already mentioned, this mechanism is kind of similar to what happens in flat space. But from S matrix again, apart from ADS2S2 case, what should happen, it presumably should be quantum deformed symmetry of the S matrix. But again, this is just indication based on analogy with what we know, but meaning of this quantum deformation is unclear. So again, these are examples of just ADS2S2, ADS3S3, ADS5S5, what kind of supersymmetry you should expect. So here we have manifest 2.2 supersymmetry, here 4.4, and here 8.8. It's kind of unusual, not standard version of two-dimensional supersymmetry, but here it comes exactly from this PST22, which is also present in usual Magnoness matrix, which is not Lorentz invariant. So finally, I get to quantum PR, Palmyre reduced theory. This reduction may work at the quantum level here, precisely because this conformal symmetry, which is used in the reduction, actually extends to quantum level. So the key point was to solve Virasoro conditions. So that's what where you need to believe that the symmetry extends to quantum level. And indeed, this Palmyre reduced theory, as Green-Schwarz theory, is ultraviolet finite, so that suggests at least that step is safe to extend to quantum level. In principle, without fermions, this sum of two gauge Wiesemann models with two different groups, they will have this mu running in opposite way, and they need not be finiteness. So just like in Sangodin or complex Sangodin, you will have divergences. But fermions actually couple two models together and ensure that there's no divergences. So from that point of view, it's an interesting model where you have both integrability and ultraviolet finiteness. And mass. N equal to Sangodin, which I mentioned. That's exactly. Sorry, quantize what? Green-Schwarz, you mean equivalence of Green-Schwarz and Palmyre reduced theory? No. I'm not claiming that I understand that in that case. No. That's an open question, in fact. Part of that open question that ADS2S2 theory is not just that super corset. If you want to have critical string theory, you need some six torus, etc. So that's more complicated. Palmyre reduction will not do what you think in flat space. It doesn't work in flat space. It works precisely for this corset, constant curve. Which action? The action is fine. Of course it has flat space limit. It goes to flat space Green-Schwarz action. But if you ask me what's Palmyre reduction for flat space Green-Schwarz action, this is a bit vacuous question. I'll better not get into that. So, action, of course no. No, that's the class. I'm not claiming I know how these two theories are related. I'm suggesting you a discussion of there are very closely related theories, but in how related, I don't know. So again, all I know, I'm telling you. If I'm not telling you something, that means I don't know. let me. Do I have 10 minutes more?
You have even 15 minutes. Right. That's why I ask my questions. By the way, sometimes classical field transformations in some integrable models can be done also in quantum mechanically. Do you know such examples? For example, if it's just Liouville or just Sine-Gordon, say, O3 model versus Sine-Gordon, could the Palmyre reduction be quantized? I mean, just as field transformation.
No.
No?
No. An important point is solving this Virasoro here. No. This Palmyre reduction, I don't know how to phrase it in terms of some duality transformation between two theories. That would be what we need, indeed, to make it a quantum state. But at the moment, it looks like just an observation that you have classical equation, you can rewrite it in terms of current, solve Virasoro, and you get another local theory which gives you some dynamics. But let's okay. See what we get.
Let's continue.
Yeah, so classical equations are closely related. So if you consider, and they're of the same second order. So if you consider small fluctuations near them, you may expect that fluctuation frequency should match. And if that's true, then you can formally argue that quantum partition function, one loop partition function of one theory is equivalent to the other. And we can actually check this directly on several examples and That's not too surprising, but in principle that refers to, well, the structure is such that that works. Could, in principle, not work if even if you have classical equivalence. So, for example, you can look at, say, folded string with two spins in S and J, in AGS, one spin AGS 5, one orbital momentum in S5. That's a familiar example, infinite spin limit, in slightly unfamiliar notation. But so you can embed it in AGS 3 times S1, for example, just a simple solution of this complex Singer-Gordon model. Or you can embed it in AGS 5, so this matrix G will look like some big matrix like this, and this is its ADS sort of SP22 part. And so this is just constant gauge field, but you can change the gauge, et cetera. But choosing this background, we just can expand the action near this background and see what we get for fluctuations for partition function. And we see, for example, we do match what we know. And in string string theory, we know what's the fluctuation. That's a familiar, well-known spectrum, so we have one mode in ADS3, two modes in ADS, transverse to ADS3 in ADS5 with masses 4 and 2, 5 massless scalars, 8 massive fermions. And this is the spectrum which we actually get in the limit mu going to 0 when there is no charge in mu. Mu plays the role of momentum in S5. So this, if we compute partition function in this near that background, what we get is a familiar scaling function of Kaspar-Null dimension. So it has classical term, which is square root of lambda, which I'm not looking at. I'm just looking at quantum corrections. So leading term is 3 log of 2, and then there's Catalan constant. So that's a familiar formula, which we get in string theory. So let's see what we get in this reduced theory. So first, in string theory, there are actually two contributions to this Catalan constant part, to the two-loop term, and they come with opposite signs from bosons and fermions. So fermions change sign of this bosonic contribution, and they come from this integral, which is essentially three propagators, two-loop integral with three propagators. And the important point of these propagators, one of them, at least one of them, should be with mass 2, which is mass transverse to ADS3. So solution sits in ADS3, but fluctuates in ADS5. So it's important to have this fluctuation in ADS5 to get this Catalan. Now, if you look what you get in ADS3, S3, superstring in ADS3, S3, you will not have this Catalan constant precisely because you will not have fluctuation transverse to ADS3. So in that case, we just get one loop coefficient with 2 instead of 3, but the two-loop coefficient is 0. So I'm just referring to string theory. So now I want to compare to reduced theory, and here what we found recently is the analog of the scaling function will have, in ADS3 case, will have one loop correction, 2 log 2, but two-loop correction, which was 0 in string side, here is square of log 2. So that suggests that while one loop corrections match, two-loop corrections actually do not match, and they differ by square of one loop correction. Meaning of that is not completely clear, and the same pattern repeats in ADS5. So in ADS5, one loop coefficients match in the scaling function, but to loop, remarkably, we get the same Catalan, and its coefficient would match if we identify k with 2 square root of lambda. And I'll get why this 2 is natural to this point. But again, there is log 2 squared, so that suggests a general relation between this two-loop coefficient in Polmire reduced theory and string theory is something like that, with gamma being some constant. So again, the meaning of that relation is unclear. It's just what we seem to get. But why this Catalan match remains a kind of remarkable mystery. So that indeed suggests that still quantum theory, at least part of these Feynman graphs, are essentially in quite close correspondence. So why k equal to 2 square root of lambda? Again, that just follows if you compare Green-Schwarz action and a reduced theory action. And if you concentrate on these terms, which, as I mentioned earlier, this mu term and mu squared term, potential term, and there is Yukawa term, two fermions and rotated by g minus 1 g. These terms exactly are terms, kinetic term and Besouminian term in string action, with if you set square root of lambda equal k, they will match. So why, it's just an indication. Again, string actions do not, full actions do not match because we have extra terms here, which is just gauge with the minor terms. But if that happens, then Catalan constants match in the two partition functions. So that still needs some explanation. It couldn't be in some random theory that wouldn't happen. Now, why k is not quantized? Actually, it's not clear why it should be quantized because here we're dealing with essentially Minkowski theory, not Euclidean, though we have gauge with the minor part. Plus, we may have some other boundary conditions in this theory because we're dealing with massive theory. There are solitons here. So again, this is one of the open questions. If we do identify k with square root of lambda, k cannot be quantized. The alternative option, which may be mentioned in the talk by Miramont, is that maybe we shouldn't really think of k and square root of lambda related. So there may be family of theories. In fact, that's what Bayesian Karatayev's construction of its matrix may be suggesting. So finally, I get to S matrix. So that would be part of the solution of this theory, if we could compute exact S matrix or guess or justify it by perturbative computation and understand its symmetries, etc. So what's this matrix for elementary excitations? So elementary excitations here expand near G equal 1, trivial vacuum. So what do you get? So what we did is just to study three-level and one-loop S matrix, which we get from that reduced theory action, and then see whether it resembles string theory or something else. So you set G to be exponent of the element of the algebra. You split eta into part, which it belongs to sort of physical part, coset part, and gauge part. And a natural gauge fixing here is A plus equals 0. In two dimensions, preserved Lorentz invariant, so we'll be ending up with Lorentz invariant as matrix. Integrating A minus, we end up with the following action for remaining degrees of freedom, x, psi right, psi left. So again, x is 8 bosons. It's a special 8 by 8 matrix describing 4 plus 4 degrees of freedom. So k in front of the action in the quartic terms. So we are after two particle S matrix, two S matrix. We think that theory is integrable, so probably we first need to understand two particle S matrix. So this action has global H symmetry, H being SU2 in power 4, the one which remains. And it's natural actually to split all these fields to parameterize them as big 8 by 8 matrix. So SU2 sits on diagonal Ys and Zs are part of X, and they sit some in these blocks. And fermions sit on this diagonal. Fermions are zeta and chi are 2 by 2 matrices. And the action can be reorganized in these two indices running 1, 2. So it has kinetic terms. As you see, it's kind of standard massive fermions, massive bosons. And there are lots of quartic terms, which just I showed earlier. Now, these all four fields can be also organized in terms of big matrix phi with index A and A dot, which is A and A alpha. And remarkably, this S matrix which we get, three level and one loop, it group factorizes. So this big S matrix acting on two particle state, it's actually product of two factors. Each of these indices actually naturally associated to PSU22. So that group factorization you would expect. It was actually observed in the case of light cone gauge ADS5S5S matrix, which is same as Magnon S matrix, that weak coupling is Magnon S matrix, of which Bayesian first discussed. But there is this supergroup structure kind of manifest, and there is this group factorization. Same property we see here, which would be expected because if we did have PSU2 symmetry manifest. All we have manifest is just SU2 power 4. But integrability suggests that this group factorization should happen. And in fact, this analogy suggests that we should have bigger symmetry in this story. So this S matrix is parameterized by 10 functions, exactly as in superstring case. 10 functions, which in this case, because the Lorentz invariant depends on difference of rapidities, theta, and k, which is our coupling. So 1 over k is three-level corrections, 1 over k squared will be one loop, etc. So these are explicit three-level results, and you may compare this to string S matrix where square root of 1 over square root of lambda plays the role of 1 over k. So this is a result of Clause et al. From 2006. So that's essentially near flat space expansion, strong coupling expansion of Magnon BMN S matrix. So these 10 functions are different, but and they depend on two rapidities separately, not on difference. So structure is similar, but it kind of what precise relation between the two is unclear. Now, so this. This matrix has its unitary, the one which we get from Paul Meyer reduced theory, is unitary, crossing symmetric, Lorentz invariant. It satisfies group factorization, but surprisingly, it doesn't satisfy a Young-Baxter equation. And what that is not too surprising because we have explicit non-abelian symmetry and still we have trigonometric structure, and there is a clash between these two properties. So again, the meaning of why we don't have Young-Baxter, I'll get to that a bit later. But the suggestion is that the symmetry should actually be quantum deformed in this matrix, so it shouldn't be manifest. So we get from Lagrangian, we get this as manifest symmetry of this matrix. There's some hidden subtlety in this, in what's going on. So, as I mentioned earlier, the Bizet and Karatev, they considered a sort of quantum-deformed version of Hubbard model, and there is an R matrix which has Q-deformed PSU2 centrally extended, and that this algebraic setting is exactly what we have here, and in fact, we observe that there is a close analogy of, the coefficients are actually quite closely related. Yes, of course, because it doesn't have manifest non-abelian symmetry. The symmetry is deformed. So that's the reason. So this is one loop correction, how it looks like. Again, these 10 functions get extra contributions, 1 over k squared. And there is a phase factor which is separated here, which has 1 over k squared contributions. So to get an idea how to interpret this three-level Mann-Lupitz matrix, we look at particular truncation, ADS2, S2, ADS3, S3, where we actually have quite clear idea what we should get. In ADS2, S2, as I mentioned, the Polmeyer reduced theory for ADS2, S2 is just equivalent to n equal to 2 supersymmetric Sine-Gordon, for which exactly this matrix is known. It's a product of Sine-Gordon's matrix, n equal 1 Sine-Gordon. So roughly it looks like this, ignoring tensor structure. So it's some phase factor which is built on the gamma matrix, and there is particular products, other products. So this matrix, the symmetry in this case is manifest n equal to symmetry, which has this, in the context of this reduced theory, has this interpretation in terms of remaining supergroup symmetry. So we can just interpret this symmetry explicitly. In ADS3, S3 case, going through similar analysis, we can actually understand what should be, comparing to our explicit one-loop and three-level results, we can make a guess what should be the exact matrix and what should be its supersymmetry. And here the suggestion is that it has the S matrix should have quantum-deformed symmetry, which we have on algebraic grounds. What we should expect is some kind of superalgebra. That superalgebra should have interpretation of two-dimensional supersymmetry. So it comes just from F-hat, sort of this original superalgebra of this ADS3, S3 model. But quantum deformation means essentially the following. So if we think of K being related to quantum deformation, that seems the natural interpretation here. Two supersymmetry generators, Q and S, in this context, they are deformed by a global R and L, which are bosonic U1 generators here. So essentially you get, instead of classical U term, you get nonlinear terms, et cetera, and U coefficient is randomized. So on top of that, you need coproduct, and again, bosonic generators, in this case, coproduct is not modified, but there is a modification for fermionic generators. So then we have quite consistent picture in the sense that we have met, if we reduce this to ADS2, S2, we get exactly known results for ADS2. There is close analogy with complex Sine-Gordon's matrix, which appears as part of this ADS3, S3 case. And there's a natural conjecture for exact S matrix to all in 1 over k if we assume that this classical symmetry is actually quantum deformed of symmetry of this matrix, of this Polmeyer. So ADS3, S3 model, that's our sort of conjecture of how exact S matrix, 1 minute, should look like. So, yeah, don't have time to discuss this further. So now, for ADS5, S5, there is an obvious unclear problem how we reconcile this fact that we don't have, from S matrix, from Lagrangian theory, we get manifest H symmetry, and then we don't have Young-Baxter equation. But on the other hand, there is a suggestion from by Bizet and Karatev, a limit of their R matrix. What should be the S matrix with exactly right symmetries? So at the moment, one observation which we made is that the two S matrices at the tree level are actually related by a non-unitary rotation. And that suggests that they're actually quite close to be, they are related in some systematic way. Again, precisely, we don't understand that, but we made a conjecture what should be the exact S matrix of ADS5, S5. We're just interpreting the R matrix of Bizet and Karatev. So let me get to, so that's just to flash how that looks like. But again, the structure is just copying. If you know ADS2S2, that's some kind of long generalization of ADS2S2S matrix, n equal to Sangodness matrix going through ADS3S3, et cetera. So conclusions. So what I was, I clearly can't convince you that these are two equivalent theories, and they may not be actually equivalent, but they may be thought as close relatives and essentially deformations, two different deformations of the same kind of on-shelf, nonlinear on-shelf theory plus the same near BMN expansion sort of theory. One of them Lorentz invariant, another is not. And they have lots of algebraic similarities, and very likely they are actually closely related. So what we saw, one interesting observation is that this Catalan constant in two-loop partition function seems to be appearing in exactly the same pattern as in string side, which is, if you know what kind of graphs it comes from, it can't be just accidental. So I also mentioned this various examples of S matrices, and the picture, again, algebraically seems very quite consistent. So we have 2, 2, 4, 4, 8, 8, supersymmetries coming out of global PSU22 structure. So open questions are obviously many, and I should probably emphasize, I guess, the last one. Regardless, I will just take it with sign minus. Regardless whether understanding of this Polmeyer-Reduce theory actually helps us in solving AES5S5 string, I think we definitely learned something new about ultraviolet finite massive integral theories if we solve this theory, which sort of long generalizes generalized Sangodi models. Thank you.
Question, please.
So with regards to this sort of K, lambda-dependent K that you wrote up there, there was some very old work on not TOTA theories with non-simply laced groups. And what they found when they were analyzing the S matrix, the pole structure, so you could use the usual TOTA formulas that work for simply laced theories. If you renormalize the Coxeter number there by some coupling formula, and like I say, that was the only way they could get the consistency of the S matrix to the poles in the S matrix to work out. But so it looks like you have a similar setup here. So,
but Coxeter will be shift of K. Here, there's no shift of K because of fermions, because of supersymmetry.
Right, I'm just saying something that was ordinarily one would expect. Is an integer just handed to you at the very beginning.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Changes, but because it didn't work. But did you analyze the whole structure of your S matrix yet?
I guess if you stay till Friday, maybe you'll hear about that. There will be a talk by Miramontes on Friday. Could you comment?
What you say is that maybe in a relation like that, maybe there would be a shift in K or not. That's a question. But I think the main question is what Arkady has shown, that in principle the two axioms have two different coupling constants, which is lambda and K. So there are two options. Either lambda and K are the same coupling constant up to sieves, or they are different coupling constants. And then the question would be, what is the role of K in string theory? That I don't know the answer.
No, there are several options. Either they are unrelated, they are two different theories, or they are related with some identifications. So one identification, which I was mentioning, is K proportional square lambda, but then not me the only one.
Please, other questions?
Generalize what? I would think it's a very good question. It's very hard computation to do this for finite mu. So if we do this for finite mu is like this L parameter generally. Yeah, I would think that K will again match, but these log twos, unfortunately, they seem to be appearing from many other places. Not obvious. Not clear why. No.
Some other questions? maybe I'll ask a question. Is it clear that if you quantize Vollmer reduction, it will be also a string theory, a superstring theory, or you completely broke some symmetries?
Not clear from where it comes from. The Lagrangian is just no. It's
so
not clear.
It may be two quantum string theories.
No, it need not be string theory. It's not string theory. I don't know how to make string theory out of that theory. So again, it was, to arrive to that theory, we started with Winschoot string, wrote it in terms of currents, solved Virasoro, so that you sort of left with physical degrees of freedom, and then wrote some other local action for the remaining equation of motion. So that's how it came from string theory. But now you got an action which more or less you can phrase as if you don't have any other degrees of freedom. You don't have diffeomorphisms, you don't, conform invariance is fixed.
Maybe they're hidden there, or...
Not, yeah, maybe. But it's not, I don't know which other string theory would be. And we know the string theory is actually unique. For the, with these symmetries, we think it's unique. What maybe there's some, we know there's a beta deformation, there may be some other deformation of string theory. Maybe if we think this, there's some other deformation, maybe that could be a candidate for that. Yeah. Yes, so that if you really try to do this change from fields to currents systematically, you would need to do this at path integral. It's not clear how to do this clearly, in a clear way. Yes. Yeah, well, one loop, why not? One loop partition function may match. Classical will not match, precisely if it's quantum transformation. But then why, if it's quantum transformation, why classical equations of motion are the same? So we somehow, just because we write Maurer-Cartan, which you may think is delta function in the path integral, yeah. Now, I think it's a good question, but I don't know what the answer.
Okay. If there are no more questions, let's continue with our program. Thank you, Arkady.
Okay, so while we change speaker, let me just make a small announcement. So